Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. While reading the Sunday New York Times magazine section a while back, this headline caught my eye. How to come out at Thanksgiving. The small article offered straightforward advice by Kristen Russo, who did just that, telling her parents after dessert that she was a lesbian. That was back in 1998, when Kristen was 17. Apparently, coming out during Thanksgiving is not only common, but significant, since it's the first home from college holiday. Kristen, who has a master's in gender studies, eventually went on to form EveryoneIsGay.com with Danielle Owens Reed. Created in 2010, it is one of the only advice sites for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth and their parents. No topic is off limits. Kristen and Danielle riff on each other in improvised skits and answer questions from viewers left on voicemail. 3 years later, they created the Parents Project to answer the many questions they were getting from moms and dads whose children had recently come out. Then came This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids, a blunt, no-holds-barred guide that answers questions like, who should I tell? How do I talk to my child about safe sex? There's a glossary in the back that defines terms like genderqueer, intersex, and heterosexism. Kristen is also the host and co-producer of First Person, a video series about gender and sexuality from PBS Digital and WNET-TV. Kristen, welcome, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So when did you realize you were gay, and how difficult was it to share that news with your parents?
Oh boy, that's like the question, right? When did I realize? I get that question all the time from young people still now. I think that, you know, it wasn't like I woke up one day and all of a sudden was like, oh, you know what? It's Tuesday. And I just realized, here I am. I'm totally gay. I went through a long process with it. You know, when I came out, it was 1998. So it was a very different time with the internet and things like that. And I didn't have as many resources or ways to kind of see myself reflected in spaces. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was in theater when I was in high school. And so I would go to like theater parties and like kiss girls and think like, well, I didn't really like that. So that must not be who I am. And then when I was a senior in high school, I met a girl who I had real feelings for. And that's kind of when it clicked for me. My mom had asked me from when I was like 12 or 13 up if I was gay.
Why did she do that?
I think that she saw in my friendships with other girls that I was attached in a way that to her signaled maybe there was more there. But truth be told, that there wasn't for me at age 13, 14, 15. I just thought that that's how people felt about their friends. It was never anything sexual. It was never anything where I wanted to kiss them. It was just, I had so much love for them. So I think for her that triggered like, maybe she is gay. And for me,
wow,
it really threw me off.
Uh-huh. Because it wasn't necessarily that you were like a tomboy and you only wanted to play sports, all that, you know, stupid stereotyping.
Exactly. I think that, you know, we really miss the mark when we do that, when we think like my daughter wants to play with trucks, so maybe she's gay.
Yeah,
but
right.
My mom didn't even have that. I loved dresses. I have long hair. I wear earrings. So it wasn't a gender presentation thing for her at all. I think she just saw my close relationships with other girls and thought maybe. And so she was asking me before I was even aware myself. It took me until I was 17 to really understand the first bits of my sexuality and things like that. And coming out was difficult. My mom was raised exceptionally Catholic, and I was raised Catholic, and I really didn't know what to expect. I didn't have a plan, and I kind of just jumped in, as you mentioned, on Thanksgiving. It was my first Thanksgiving home from college.
Is that when it all solidified for you, first semester of college? Is that when you had this epiphany?
If I had an epiphany at all, it was when I was a senior in high school. It was when I like started hooking up with this girl that I had a crush on, and I had all these feelings, because that for me was the first time that I connected like emotions to desire, and all of that was wrapped up in this girl. So for me, I said, okay, I don't know what I am, but I know that I can have feelings for women, right? So
mm-hmm.
I had kind of come out to myself as bisexual at age 17 when I was in high school. But for me, I went away to college, and I think probably it had to do with the fact that I knew that I was home for, you know, a few days or a week, and that I had some place to go back to. I didn't think my parents would kick me out or anything, but I think that it was less pressure to say, hey, by the way, I'm gay, and then leave, then have to be in the house if things were awkward or weird or what have you.
Did you have an agenda? Was it written out for you, so to speak, or this was kind of off the cuff? What happened at Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, so I did not have an agenda. It was completely off the cuff. I know a lot of people sort of plan things, right? They're like, I'm going to go home. This is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. For me, it actually centered around religion. My mom had given me this like student Bible. And at the time, I was really angry about a lot having to do with Catholicism and sexuality. And so I read everything essentially to tear it apart, which is not a good way to read things. But that's where I was. You know, I had a lot of anger and a lot of confusion. And so we ate Thanksgiving dinner. My sister, who's 5.5 years younger than me, left the table and like went upstairs to play with, you know, her like Lisa Frank notebooks or whatever the case may be. And when she left, I said, you know, you gave me this student Bible and I have some issues with it. I have some issues with the way that it's translated. So I got up, I went, I got the student Bible, I brought it to the table, and I said, this passage is specifically written against gay people, and I don't think that that's true to how it was written. Now, I had asked my mom at this point to not ask me again if I was gay, right? When I was like 14, I said, please don't ask me anymore. If I have something to tell you, I'll tell you. But when I brought this translation and I sort of, you know, got really upset about it, got really emotional about it, she said, Kristen, I just need to know if there's something else that you want to tell us. And that was my off the cuff moment where I just said, you know what, if not now, then when? And so I said, yes, there is something I want to tell you. And I actually came out in that moment as bisexual. It's been simplified in some tellings, both by myself and others, because I then eventually came out as a lesbian. But in that moment at the table, I came out as bisexual because that was my true identity at the time. I felt that I had attractions to people of all genders. Truthfully, at that point in time, I felt I had attractions to people of both genders because I didn't understand the complexities of gender at all in 1998. But
so this wasn't an extended family Thanksgiving. Aunt Rosemary and Uncle Joe weren't sitting there.
No, and you know what's funny? I do have an Aunt Rosemary, but she's married to my Uncle Vinny.
Oh, okay.
And no, right, exactly. It was just my mom, my dad, and I. My sister wasn't even at the table. I actually didn't come out to my sister for a couple of years because my mom didn't want me to.
Asked you not to. How did Dad handle this?
Dad was way, way, way more calm about the whole thing. And I think he just has a different relationship to faith and religion. So he didn't have that pressure. For him, he thought, and he said immediately, if you're happy, I'm happy. My only concern is, you know, I don't want you to face discrimination in your life. I don't want you to have a harder path, et cetera. But that was pretty much it for him. I mean, one of my like anecdotes from that day was later on in the kitchen. My dad was like, so that Gwen Stefani, she's pretty cute, right? And I was like more like mortified, but that, you know, is an indicator of sort of where
he was
at.
Trying, right?
He was.
And she, did your mother have a breakdown?
I don't know that I would classify it in that Thanksgiving moment as a breakdown, but she did cry and it was the beginning of a much longer, much more difficult process. For her, that was the start, and it was full of a lot of tears, a lot of confusion and questions. And then, you know, that was November, and the following summer was when I started dating a girl for the first time. And that's when it really, really got bad, because I think it really locked into place that this was real for her.
So you weren't going through a phase.
Yeah, exactly. And that was something that, you know, and I mentioned how I came out as bisexual and later came out as a lesbian. That was because of that whole phase thing. My mom had a really difficult time understanding bisexual, and she thought that that meant that I could meet a man and fall in love with a man and marry a man, which technically it did, but her holding out that hope was really damaging for me because it didn't allow her to accept who I really was. So I latched onto that word lesbian specifically just so my mom would kind of let go of some of these ideas and latch on to who I really was. But to this day, I actually don't identify as a lesbian. I use that word to help her. I don't know that it was the right choice, but it did help her kind of understand that I was serious, that I was really attracted to women, mm-hmm. and that she needed to stop kind of praying every night
that you would change. So you go to college and you get a master's in gender studies. Why and what did you plan on doing with that? And does that have to do with your sexuality?
It absolutely has to do with my sexuality. The true reason that I went back to school, part of it at least, is that I was going through a really difficult breakup. I was really confused about what I was doing in my life. At the time, I worked at a hedge fund.
Were you here in New York? Oh, Manhattan. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was working, you know, like on Madison Avenue, and there were a lot of like cool things about it, but it was absolutely not what I wanted to do. And I thought back to when I was in undergrad, and my bachelor's degree is in theater, but when I was going forward in that degree, I took a few classes on religion and a few classes on sexuality. And that was entirely because of my own experience, right? It was like I was sort of looking for more information about what I was going through and also looking for more information to use to talk to my family and my extended family as well about my experience, my identity, religion, all of this stuff. So I made a choice to go back to school. And rather than go and further my theater degree, I wanted to go to learn more about gender and sexuality. And so that was the impetus. And I didn't know what I was going to do with that degree at all. I actually have young people that ask me all the time, like, so what can you do with your master's in gender studies? And right. I'm like, listen, I don't know what to tell you. You can learn a lot and it really cracks open your brain to all of these incredibly important things. But at the end of the day, there's not really a job that you can get because you have a degree in gender studies, unless you're going into academia and you're going to be a professor, or you're going to be, you know, a teacher of some kind.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Kristen Russo, who, as she mentioned, is the founder, along with Danielle Owens Reed, of EveryoneIsGay.com. How did that get started? And what in heaven's name does that title mean?
Well, how it got started will give you an idea of also where the name came from. I met Danielle in 2010. Her and I had known each other for just a couple of weeks, and she had started a Tumblr called Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber, based on the sort of, idea that there are a lot of lesbians who look like Justin Bieber. And the site took off. It was kind of like a viral sensation. People thought it was hilarious. It was. And it opened up this conduit sort of for young people to find Danielle, and they were asking her questions, both advice questions and also opinion questions and things like that. So Danielle and I talked about those questions and decided, like, you know what, let's start an advice website. And really, in its inception, all we intended it to be was a very silly place, right? A place where we were going to be kind of sassy and sarcastic and make jokes. The first advice question we ever answered was like, how do I know if my dog is gay? We were not, right. We were not setting out to like change anything or like help anybody in this larger sense. We were just trying to be funny. And we called the site Everyone is Gay because, again, we were just being silly. You know, we came up with a million names that were just ridiculous and funny and sort of tongue in cheek and things like this. And then what happened was that space attracted all of these young people who really genuinely needed advice. And that's where it just snowballed. You know, we said, let's try to give actual advice. And we were still, you know, matter of fact, and we still put a lot of jokes and humor into things. And the response was incredible. And then it just grew and grew and grew from there.
Was it a kind of safety in numbers things that not that you were necessarily providing psychological help, but you were there to hold other young men and women's hands, you know, to speak from your own personal experiences? Is that basically what the MO was of Everyone is Gay initially?
Absolutely. And I think it still is. You know, we've never presented ourselves, and, you know, the site has changed so much over time. But at its core, it's always been, we have life experience and we're here to share that with you. And I think that there's something so powerful about being able to see other people living in the world who either identify as you identify or who identify in ways that might set them apart, right? That I'm queer, that I'm not straight, that I journey through these paths that might make other people look at me differently or experience me differently. And you can see me, you can hear my voice and know that like this is my journey in life. And we overlap in some places and I can help you maybe. But you know, I never ever position myself like I know the answers. I just position myself as a person who's been through some of this stuff and who has talked to a lot of people and now a lot of young people. And so I just like put my truth out there. And I've just found that it's the most incredible thing. It's received such a brilliant and beautiful response.
It just seems interesting to me because on some level, the site is a no-brainer. And on the other hand, you're also not reinventing the wheel.
That's exactly it. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times throughout this journey that either Danielle and myself or myself, depending on the project, have thought that exact same thing. I mean, when we came to write the book for parents, it was like, how is this not, this is the year, you know, it was like 2013. It's 2013. How is this book, how has somebody not already written this?
Right.
You know, it was like a total mind bender. And then of course it's also exciting in the sense that great, we'll do it. We'll do this thing. And we get to be the first people to do this thing in this form. But I'm with you. I don't understand how there's not more of it.
Share some of the more common questions that you and Danielle received and receive. And I bet some of them must just break your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the questions vary so much, but I do have to say, you know, at this point I have, I don't know, over 50,000 questions in the inbox, right?
Oy,
there's
oy,
no,
oy.
Yeah, there's
50,000 different questions?
50,000 different questions. And that's like now, I mean, they circulate too. You know, we go through them, we answer them. That's just today. But what's really amazing and I think important to know is that it's 50,000 individual questions, but I guarantee you that if I were to ever go through the inbox and like sort of put the ones that are the same together, mm-hmm. I would have much, much fewer questions in the inbox because there is such commonality of experience in the community. And it ranges, you know, I think one of our most popular questions that everyone is gay specific, because everyone is gay is for young people. And then the Parents Project is the site that's for parents. So what everyone is gay, the most common question that we receive is I'm in love with my best friend and I don't know what to do. that is the single most common question. But the second most common question in my experience has been, I need to come out to my parents and I don't know how, or I've come out to my parents and they are not accepting. They have told me that I am just going through a phase. They've told me I can't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Or at the most extreme ends of this spectrum, you know, that they've told me that they've pulled my financial support away from me. They've told me that I can't live under their roof. I mean, these things are happening. I think that in the world right now, there's such this huge media presence around LGBT identities. There's a lot of exposure and it's wonderful, but I think it gives off the impression to some people that young people aren't facing these hardships at home anymore, or at least that's super rare, but that's not true. It's happening all the time. And I'm super, super excited about the media coverage and the exposure and seeing gay, lesbian, bisexual, and trans characters on television. But things are still really difficult for so many young people. And I have that proof definitely in my inbox.
I recently met someone who's involved with Teach and Affirm, a project of Garden State Equality, which is in New Jersey, and it provides high school training on transgender and gender nonconforming students. You know, how educators can make a profound difference in the lives of such students, you know, by creating a safe and affirming high school experience, explaining the law, Title IX, the New Jersey Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. But despite all this exposure and despite the fact that it's 2016, you know, this is not an easy road to hoe. And there's just such tremendous pain and confusion and maybe self-hate in all of this too.
Absolutely. I mean, we live in a world that really polices gender specifically, which is what it sounds like this organization is working with. And, you know, we're told from before we're even born, right? The first question that expectant parents get is, do you know if it's a boy or a girl? We want to know if it's a boy or a girl. And based on that, we have all of these assumptions. And so, of course, young people who are feeling like everyone is calling me a girl and I don't feel like that, That's going to lead to confusion. It's going to lead parents to not know how to accept their children. And as you said, it really breeds this self hate and self, really confusion, I think, of like, how can this be? How can I feel this way, right? Because the world tells me that I can't exist. And that's, I think, what it boils down to. But programs like what you're speaking of are making a huge difference, because teachers, I mean, when you think about teachers, like, they have between 15 and 30 students in their classroom every year. And with their ability to know how to make classrooms safe spaces, they're creating spaces where those students can start to say, oh, I can be myself. Oh, I don't have to fit this mold that I'm seeing out there in the world. And that's incredibly powerful.
But what's the intensity difference between someone who says, I know I'm gay, as opposed to where it gets so much more fraught and I'm not being dismissive and much more complicated when the issue moves over to transgender?
It's so hard to speak about it as like how different the experience is for a gay person versus for a person who is transgender, because there's so much complexity within those identities. And I think that what we're seeing right now is a huge increase in exposure around what it is to be transgender, what it is to be non-binary. And that is incredibly useful, but that's just starting. So if you're a young person and you're feeling like you're gay or you're a lesbian or you're bisexual, I think that there's more that you find to show you variations on what that might look like, right? Like, you can say, oh, I'm bisexual, and look, here's like five different examples of people who identify as bisexual that I see that show me that I can be who I am. I don't have to be one thing, right? That if I'm a gay man, I don't have to be Will from Will and Grace, right? We have iterations of like what it looks like to be gay. Whereas right now we're just cracking open the millions of different iterations of what it can look like to be transgender. And so I think that for young trans people and for parents of trans kids, it's more difficult because we're only seeing a couple of things, right? We see Caitlyn Jenner, we see incredible actresses like Laverne Cox, but they're just beginning to open these spaces. And so there's not as much for young trans people to say, I can be trans, but I don't have to be this one thing.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Kristen Russo, who, along with Danielle Owens-Reed, founded EveryoneIsGay.com. Kristen, how much of your sexuality defines your life?
Well, if you're asking me specifically, my sexuality happens to determine a ton of my life.
Okay.
But that's, you know, that's very specific to me because...
But I'm only asking you.
You're only asking me. Okay. Because it's a tricky... It's like, there's a lot of people who have, you know... a sexuality that doesn't determine a lot of their life. But for me specifically, you know, my sexuality led me to really question religion and larger structures of the world, which then led me to go get a master's degree in gender studies, which then led me to wind up founding this organization to help LGBTQ youth. And from there, we snowball and snowball. So my sexuality has informed so many facets of my life and continues to do so. I can't make it through more than a minute of a conversation without coming out. It's just, it's everywhere in a conversation for me. What do you do? It's just all like, well, I'm a professional gay person.
Well, that's really interesting, I guess, because your personal and your professional lives are so interconnected.
Yeah, they really are. And I really like that. I think that's also something that's happening more and more with the internet and the way we use the internet, that, you know, the people who read Everyone is Gay, there are a lot of them who also follow me on Instagram and on Tumblr and on Twitter. And they know my wife, who's a musician, and they love when we post pictures of us together because that visibility is really exciting to them. And, you know, I had a cat for a really long time who I just lost, unfortunately. But, you know, they knew him, they loved him. And when, you know, we had to put him to sleep, that was a loss for them. It is so connected. And, you know, of course, we have to draw lines around some of this. But for the most part, I think them knowing me on a personal level is what makes my presence powerful and important to them, because it's not just somebody sort of speaking from a pulpit, if you will, right? It's like, I'm just a real person and this is my real life. And these are the words that I have to share with you.
You know, this is so funny because just the other day I was reading again in the New York Times an article titled "By Any Other Name Would Be Sweet." And it has to do with some married same-sexers want to be called wives or husbands or partners, some hers bands or was bands. Ask them. And is that how you see it as well? I mean, you just said you're married and your wife. You know, that's also this re-education. I guess there's that awkwardness of not knowing what to say to somebody.
Yeah, I think that brings up, I mean, I haven't read that article. I would like to, though. I refer to my wife as my wife. And I think in the circle that I'm in, that's definitely the common way of referring to my married friends, partners. But I think that what the article likely brings up is that you don't know how people refer to themselves. You don't know, like, when I tell you that I have a wife, that doesn't mean that I'm a lesbian, right? Like, that could mean many things. And so I think that always asking questions is really important. Questions that you need to know the answers to, right? Like, I need to know if I'm supposed to refer to your partner as your wife. I need to know if your pronouns are she, her, hers, because those are things that I need to use in conversation and I don't want to use the wrong words for you.
Yeah, but sometimes that's overwhelming also. You know what I mean? And I'll play the devil's advocate. Oh, come on. She's a she and he's a he. And I'm not saying they're only expressing those views in Omaha. You know, they're expressing those views in New York City too.
Yeah, and I think that's because it's a newer conversation, right? Like, most of my upbringing was you see somebody that looks like a girl, in quotes, that must be a girl. We call her she. That's what we do, right? And that's what we've all been taught for so many years. But what the conversation is centering around now is, what are we actually saying when we say that? Because already in that sentence, I've said, looks like a girl, right? So what does that mean? And how do we figure that out? And what are we doing when we assume people's gender, when we assume people's pronouns, when we assume these things, we're laying on this grid, which honestly is the grid that makes it so difficult for young trans people, and not even just young trans people, young people who may want to express their gender, express themselves in ways that are different from how the world tells them to. Mm-hmm. So I think it seems overwhelming, and I think it seems, to a lot of people, it seems silly. But, you know, in my email, if I send you an email, the bottom of my email signature, it says Kristen Russo, everyoneisgay.com, pronouns, she, her, hers. You don't even have to ask me. But I think that the other side of this is that a lot of people don't know what they can ask and what they can't. I think people would think maybe I would insult this person by asking them their pronouns, right? And so there's a lot of education that has to continue to happen to let people know that asking what someone's pronouns are is always an acceptable question. It should be a question that I think we should always ask each other. I've had many occasions where somebody's assumed that I have a boyfriend or a husband, and I just kind of go with it because in that moment I don't want to come out. And that is something that we all go through. Absolutely.
Anything on the horizon for you, or you've just so got your work cut out for you with what's going on with Everyone Is Gay? Talk to me about what's in the future.
There's actually a lot of things on the future. 2016 has been a really big year of changes. I just moved, first of all, from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. And also Danielle has left Everyone Is Gay and has started working on new projects on her own. So I've taken over as sort of CEO, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. of Everyone Is Gay and the Parents Project. So something huge on my radar is ensuring that the voice is preserved and that we're, right now we're doing this really awesome archiving project so that our advice is more searchable. And I'm beginning to work with some other organizations on new projects. This fall, I'm going to be launching a brand new project with Autostraddle that will be targeting LGBTQ teenagers. It will be hopefully a site and a print magazine that is curated and created almost entirely by LGBTQ teens. And it will expand past the advice, right? Everyone Is Gay is the spot where advice will be and will always be and will continue to be. And this new place that we're creating will be something where we can do opinion pieces and interviews and essays and things like that, where we'll have a lot of young writers and just sort of expand this voice because it's being asked for. You know, there's so many young people who want more content for themselves. So that's something that is high on my list. I'm co-directing a camp called A Camp up in the San Bernardino Mountains this summer, which is a camp that brings together about 300 queer people on the top of a mountain where we have workshops and musical performances and comedy and things like that. It's a really beautiful week up on top of a mountain. And I went as talent last year. This year I'll be directing the programming and co-directing.
What's the age range for that?
You know, the age range is actually super open. You have to be over 18, but you can be any age. The majority of those 300 people tend to be between like 21 and 28. Uh-huh. But we have, you know, a cabin where the people who are there who are over 50 all are in the same cabin. And we have a cabin where the 18-year-olds, you know, 18 to 21-year-olds are all together. So there, mm-hmm. there is a variety of age up there.
Well, that sounds terrific. So we're out of time. It's such a wonderful endeavor you've been involved with for these years, and I wish you continued success. I also know that you'll never run out of things to do, you know.
Thank you so much. It's sort of like it's a good thing and not a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again. It was really a pleasure to meet you. Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. And if you have an idea for a future guest, contact us at sandyclineshow.com.